Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today is, I think, class number eight in our series, and we're going to continue our theme of covenant. I'll share the source sheet one more time for those who don't have it. And we're going to develop the theme of covenant. Last week, we talked about the theme of covenant in Sefer Bereshit, how we go both thematically and especially textually from Brit Keshet, from Rainbow Covenant after the flood, to the Brit Milah covenant, the circumcision covenant with Avraham Avinu. We showed all the parallels and the following God's name, Elohim. Today we're going to take that a step farther into the rest of Chumash and the theme of covenant, how Brit Milah relates to Brit Sinai and almost everything happening in Har Sinai. And then we have to go back and see the other Brit in Sefer Bereshit, Brit Ben Haptarim. Now, the main theme, let me just do a quick review and then I'll get my main introduction, because the theme today I think should be pretty important. Okay, we're going to be here. We're going to want this one. Okay, put this over here. So it's class number eight, the theme of covenant part two. Okay, just the same things we did last time. We're studying Sefer Bereshit. We have the universal section and the particular section. We noticed there was a covenant in the first section after the flood, we call the Rainbow Covenant. And last week we saw the parallel between Brit Milah and God's name Elohim and the Rainbow Covenant. We did this one and matched them. Later, if we have time, hopefully we'll get the end of the day to Brit Ben Haptarim as well. But the main thing I want to show you today is how what's happening in Sefer Bereshit sets the stage for what's going to happen in Sefer Shemot. I'll just repeat the concept that I'm trying to explain Sefer Bereshit as a platform to explain what's about to happen in Sefer Shemot, because the book's primary audience, when the book was first given, was Tam Yisrael coming out of Egypt, about to receive the Torah, about to set up a nation, land of Israel. They need to know why they're chosen, who this God is, where they're coming from, where they're going to, why they're 12 tribes, and what their purpose is. In light of that, we've been studying the book. Now, the main thing I tried to show you last week was the theme of Elohim, the main Brit of Brit Milah, that Hashem will be our God. I'll just say we're going to go to Sefer Shemot and Brit Sinai. But the key phrases that we saw last week that were shared by Brit Keshet and Brit Milah was God's name Elohim, number one, was the theme Vakimoti et Briti, I'll establish a covenant. There was an Ot Brit and the phrase Bini u'Binechem and Brit Olam. In other words, these phrases were in almost identical in Brit Milah and Brit Keshet, in the Rainbow Covenant and Circumcision Covenant, which is begging thematic connection between them. And the basic thematic connection I tried to connect was that after God decides to recreate, he promises not to create again. And now that he can't start over again, but he still wants man to be good, he's going to put something into nature or into civilization whose goal or destiny will be to act in a way that'll try to assure that if society goes astray, there'll be always a nation remembering how to act to be God's model nation and to be the model of doing good and understanding what's godly. Chumash doesn't promise it will work, but it always can work. And that's the idea of the Brit Olam. It's always an eternal goal. If we live up to it, that'll be our destiny. If it happens, it's up to us. We talk about Bechira Chofshit. If not this week, next week, when we get to Brit Ben Haptarim, about freedom of choice. Now, the key phrase we saw all these phrases in Brit Keshet, Vakimoti et Briti. I just highlighted them again. And the Brit followed by Vakimoti et Briti, there won't be another Mabul to destroy creation again. Then we have the Ot Brit, which was the Keshet, which was the Kashtina type, the rainbow. It's a Brit Olam forever. And it was an Ot Brit between God and his creation, etc. Now, in light of that, we studied Brit Milah. We had the same phrase, Vakimoti et Briti, Brit Olam, Beinu u'Bein, etc. And the highlight, what I tried to get across was, because of the parallel, the covenant of Brit Milah is, I'm going to be your God, Liot Lachad Elohim. That's the key phrase. Now I'm going to ask a question. I'll bring it up for discussion. One quick example. When we say Shema every day, the reason why God took us out of Egypt, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hoceiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim, Liot Lachad Elohim. I took you out of Egypt to be your God. The concept of he's going to be our God, is that understood as privilege or purpose? Be honest, I hope my question's clear. That was when it says he's our God, how's that usually understood? If you tell a Jew, if you pray, I'm proud,
it's
I'm
our
thankful to God.
purpose.
What?
It's our purpose.
Okay, but is it a privilege?
It's both.
Excuse me?
It's both, Rabbi Levchak.
Okay, it's a privilege. The question, what comes first? Is that, did we win some type
well,
of lottery?
It's a privilege to have Hashem as your God.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah. But,
that,
the question
that's
is,
fine to me.
Yeah, but I'm saying if someone's a Bechor, if someone's elected president, so it's a privilege to have the job, but the purpose of the election is its purpose, is the responsibility behind it.
Well,
but I'm
Churchill
getting
said to Roosevelt, it's a privilege to live in the same generation as you. And Roosevelt said the same thing back to Churchill.
Now, the main point I'm getting at is when children are growing up in the regular Jewish education, what's emphasized a lot, we have to be thankful to God for choosing us. And we're the Am HaNivchar, we're the chosen people. And we thank God, and God takes special care of us, and we can pray to him, etc. We have protection and things like that. But I'm making a big deal about it, because in Jewish education, it's super important to emphasize not just the privilege of being Jewish, but also the responsibility. Now, I want to develop that, and we use the model, what I call consumer model, as opposed to employee model. Of course, we're going to follow the employee model, even though it's often understood as a consumer model, meaning we have a special connection to God. But our special connections is for the sake of its purpose. The same thing in the next line in Brit Milah, when God promises the land of Israel, is the land of Israel a present from God, like a matana? Is it a present because we're chosen, or is it a vehicle in order to fulfill our goal to become a nation? So again, if Lot Lachel Elohim, I'll go back to those psukim in a minute. Where are we? Share and where do you go? Back in Brit Milah, if he'll be our God, and the next line, "Benatati lecha lezarcha acharecha," I'm giving you and your offspring afterwards the land that you're dwelling in now, Eretz Canaan, for a eternal inheritance, and there I'll be your God. In other words, in order to facilitate Hashem being our boss, God sets aside a land in order to become a nation to serve him at the national level. And then we'll need this reminder. Now, what I want to show you today is how I find the same phrases at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, and how this idea that what the rabbis call Kablat Omachut Shemaim, accepting the yoke of heaven, the covenant is all about responsibility and service to God, and not just about privilege. Again, it's a privilege to have that responsibility, but the focus of the covenant is an eternal obligation, an eternal responsibility to serve God. You can argue how to serve God, how to interpret the laws. But that core understanding is key to being Jewish in almost every, in any denomination. Now, in source number three here, I've got to make this a lot bigger. I hope I can do that. I just took this in Ala Torah and did a quick little search for the phrase, Lo'ot Lachel Elohim, in Chumash. Let me move it over a little bit. Oh, that's not good. Wait, this way. I'll get it right in a second. There we go. Okay, so we have it here in Brit Milah, in chapter 17. That was Lo'ot Lachel Elohim. And then right afterwards, with why God's giving us the land of Israel, that should be there. In Vayikra, look at the wording. The reason I took you out of Egypt was to be your God, which I want to say for now is to be your boss. And therefore, you have to be Kadosh, because I'm the one who separated you to serve me. And then the famous line, I took you out of Egypt, repeated many times in Sefer Vayikra. We'll get to Vayikra Chafei soon, but in Parshat Bahar, Am Hashem, your God, I took you out of Egypt again to give you Eretz Canaan, Lo'ot Lachel Elohim. That's right out of Brit Milah. Remember, Parshat Bahar relates a lot to Har Sinai and Brit Sinai. We'll see the line later in the Tochacha, and also in the line from Shema, in Bamidbar Tetvav, and then we'll see also later on the lines in Sefer Devarim. Also, I want to show you, we have the same line in Devarim, we have it in Bamidbar, we have it in Vayikra, and for sure we have it in Shemot, in Bereshit. It's the key theme of Chumash, got it? And it begins in Brit Milah. Now, What I want to show you now is how this relates to the covenant at Har Sinai, and I want to go back to Parshat Bahar to Tuki Psukim. Now we can make this smaller again, back to size. Okay. At the end of Parshat Bahar, at the, like the very last line of chapter 25, which continues into chapter 26, what does God say? Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, which means we're not slaves to God, but we're servants of God. We're his employees. Not his slaves, but his employees, because Am Yisrael is avadim. They're my employees now, avadim. And that's why I took them out of Egypt. Followed by Ani Hashem Elokechem. Ani Hashem Elokechem, which is like the first line of the Brit Sinai. We'll go back to the Ten Commandments in a minute. I'm Hashem, your God. What I want to prove today means I'm Hashem, your boss. And you're working for me. And once you understand that meaning all through Chumash, it just puts everything together to understand what all the laws are about. But the idea of being an Eved Hashem, which is so key in davening, almost everywhere you turn, you see it right here at the end of Parshat Bahar, which we'll see in a minute why it relates to the Ten Commandments. And then, but what I want to get to now is show you all the key phrases that we had before of all the britot of God's name Elokim, Vakimoti Briti, Od Brit, Ben Yubin, or Brit Olam. I want to go back now to Brit, to Parshat Bechukotai and see this inside. Before I highlight these psukim, let me just show you the setting and make sure it's clear. I'll share my screen and open up a regular Chumash for a second. Where's the regular Chumash? Regular Chumash is here. No, that's not it. Yeah. Is that a regular Chumash? That's not a regular Chumash. My mistake. I'm sorry. Stop the share and open up a regular Chumash. We'll get there. Regular Chumash. Where's my... My screen? No, that's not there. Give me 1 second. I'll find it. Oh, here we are. That's it. Dvarim. We don't want Dvarim. We want a regular Chumash. Here we are. Okay, sorry about that. Let's open up Sefer Vayikra. Go fast. And go to Parshat Bahar, chapter 30, chapter 25. Vayikra, chapter 25. Just tell me if my screen's not working. Everyone have it on the screen? This is the final unit in Sefer Vayikra. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Bahar Sinai Lemor. Remember the only parsha that begins with Har Sinai. Okay. Daber b'nei Yisrael. Tell them when you come to the land will have a Shabbat Lashem. Remember in Parshat Bahar, it's called Shabbat, not Shemitah. Then we have the cycle of 6 and 7. Now, you agree with me that cycles of 6 and 7 relate to creation and God's name Elohim. The theme of Shabbat relates to cycles of 6 and 7 in God's Shem Elokim in creation. And Shemitah Bichlal, Shabbat Ha'aretz. It's just like God rested on the seventh day. We worked 6 years, we rest on the seventh year. You can't miss all the parallel themes. Now, then we count 7 years, just like the 7 weeks, just like Sefirot Omer. And we set aside the seventh year. And then we have the application of that, Ki Amucha Chicha afterwards. Sorry. But ours shouldn't be sold forever because the land here, Kili Kol Haaretz, Ki Gerim V'Toshavim Atem Imadi, the land belongs to God. We're simply living here thanks to Him. He's giving it, we're in relation to God. We're like strangers in the land. We're a Ger Toshav, but the land belongs to God. We don't own it. But we own it. God gives it to us in order to fulfill our goal. Now, then we have all the cases of Ki Amucha Chicha, how to apply that principle and building a better society, taking care of those in need. It goes in lots of different cases. And then it says, when you lend money, when someone needs to buy his field back, don't charge interest. And that's Ani Hashem Elokechem, the Ten Commandments. Asher Tzeitetchem Eretz Mitzrayim, that's the Ten Commandments. To give you Eretz Kenan, Lot Lachad Elohim. Isn't that Brit Sinai and Brit Milah together? Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Tzeitetchem Eretz Mitzrayim, that's the first line of the Ten Commandments. To give you Eretz Kanaan, that's exactly Brit Milah. I should put that on the source sheet, but that should be obvious now, right? Okay. And again, Ki Amucha Chicha, etc., the thing. And then here's the next summary. Ki Avadayim. You can't, you have to make sure every Jew is free and can't be enslaved by somebody else because they're my servants. I shall save to them Eretz Mitzrayim. And therefore, no Jew should be sold in slavery forever. And of course, inferior God. And then finally, another case about Geula. And then here, what's the final line? Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. Avadim esher seh totem eretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem Elokechem. The same theme again in the conclusion. Now, there's a chapter break here, which really isn't necessary. There's even here a partial break. The laws continue in chapter 26. Listen to the Ten Commandments. Lo tasu lachem elilim, commandment number 2. U'pesa matzeh lo tkimu lachem, even maskit, etc. Ki ani Hashem Elokechem. That's it. Esham tai tishmor mikdashay tiro. Remember the mikdash is our eternal Mamad Har Sinai. That's the famous Ramban in Truma. And then, if you follow my laws and keep my commandments, God will reward us with rain at the right time. Remember, if you want rain, it's not enough to pray for rain. You pray to remember that you have to be worthy of God's rain if you keep his mitzvot. And then God will disproportionately bless us if we keep his mitzvot properly and sanctify him. And then on the flip side, disproportionately punish us if we don't do a good job. Now, listen to these concluding lines of if we follow God's laws. Ufiniti alechem, bifreiti etchem, birbeiti etchem. Remember Puravu? We had that by Brit Keshet and Brit Mila. The same things. I should have mentioned that in the list of everything with Puravu in each one. Vakimoti et briti etchem. Here we go. That's our smoking gun. Vakimoti et briti. But it's referring to Brit Sinai. Ve'achatam yashan noshan, etc. Ve'nati mishkeni betochechem. Ve'italachti betochechem. Ve'iti lechem d'alohim, batem tili la'am. That's the corollary. If I want to know what does it mean that he's our God, we're his people. Those two go together now for on. And now here's the key. Ani Hashem Elokechem. This is the end of the, if you follow my laws. I'm Hashem, your boss. And that's why I took you out of Egypt. So you shouldn't serve the Egyptians. Is there, you know, it's, so you shouldn't be slaves to the Egyptians. I took you out to serve me. Got it? I took you out of Egypt so you don't have to serve them, and I broke the yoke of the Egyptians upon you, and I gave you freedom and again to work for me. And if you don't listen to me, boy, you're going to get in trouble. And then the long tochacha that we're all familiar with. But if I go back to my source sheet, what do we want here? I'm sorry. If I go back to my source sheet, where are we? Right here. Okay, so we had in chapter 26, we had Pruvu, Vifreti, Verbeti Etchem, we have Bakimoti et Briti, the same phrase. Veiti Etchem Elohim, Batem Tuli La'am. Now, what are we missing on the parallels? Let's take a look at them again. We have God's name Elohim, we have we have Akimoti et Briti. We have, but we're missing now these three. I need the Ot Brit, Benu, Benechem, Ubrit Olam. Correct? Now, but going back, remember God said, Venatati Mishkani Betochachem? No, it's the sign that God's with us will be his Mishkan. And now, all we need to do to figure out is what we're missing. Remember what we're missing? We're missing Ot Brit, Benu, Benechem, Ubrit Olam. To figure that out, we have to go back to Har Sinai in Sefer Shemot and just remember the Brit in Sefer Shemot. Remember, right before the Ten Commandments, what does God tell us? Remember, we got out of Egypt. Remember, look what I did for you. If you keep my Brit, you'll be my skula from all the nations. But if you're willing now to accept the covenant in Har Sinai, which will be the ultimate fulfillment, now that you're a nation, a Brit Milah, then you'll be my special nation, even though I'm the God of all the nations, and you'll be for me a priestly kingdom, and it means a nation representing God, and a nation separated in the service of God. What I want to claim is this phrase is expounding upon the idea of Liot Lachad Elohim. Now that's what I want to prove now. In other words, what we're accepting upon ourselves in Har Sinai, now that God took us out of Egypt, look what I did for you. Now, are you willing as a nation to be my covenant partner? And what it means to be your God and you're my people, that's a not just individuals, but a priestly, a nation representing God, a nation separated in the service of God. And that's going to open up the whole theme of Kedusha, which we didn't have a Bereshit that begins now in Sefer Shemot, other than Shabbat itself. Now I'm going to go back to I'll go back to these Pesukim in a minute. I just want to go to just the opening lines of the speech in Devarim, and then we'll go back to everything we're looking for. In Moshe's big speech in Devarim, he calls Israel together and tells them, listen to all the laws I'm teaching you today, etc. And then he says what? Hashem Elokeinu kratim anu brit b'chorev. Hashem Elokeinu, right? Who's Hashem Elokeinu? Remember, Dot Lachem? He's the God who made a covenant in Har Sinai. All I'm trying to show you is that the phrase Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokechem is all in the context of covenant that we're, the God's our boss and we're in his service. We'll go back. This will be the introduction to the Ten Commandments. Now I want to get to the what's missing, the Beini Ubein and the Brit and the Brit Olam. For that, we have to simply open up a Chumash and go back to two things. Open up. Here we go. Before we see Shmuel, I want to show you a regular Chumash. Here we go. In a regular Chumash, if I open up Sefer Shmot, we all know the Ten Commandments in Perek Yotet, Perek Chaf, etc. We have all the laws of the Mishkan. I'll just skip to Perek Lamed for the fun of it. Perek Lamed, we have Vizbach Toret, and then we have the Machzit HaShekel, Psiol de Parshiot, we have the Kior, then we have the Shemen HaMishcha, then we have the Ketoret itself, and then in Perek Lamed Aleph, we're finishing all the Parshiot of the Mishkan that start in Parshat Truma. We appoint Bezalel to put it together, and then we're going to get the last section, this is right before Chet HaEgel. But when the Mishkan's over, 5-6 chapters of the Mishkan from Parsha Truma to Tzav in the first half of Kitisa, God tells, Hashem tells Moshe as follows, Tav b'nei Yisrael achav shatai tishmoru, ki oti b'niu b'nechem l'dat l'dortem l'dat ki ane Hashem l'kadishchem. I'm going to do this in English Hebrew in a minute, but this is the key pasuk we have to build on. So let's take a look at it now with the English Hebrew. Where are we? Let's open up a regular Chumash. Not the Barim here. Leviticus. We want Shmot. Shmot, Shmot, Shmot. Chapter 31. Remember, Shabbat in the Ten Commandments is a commandment to keep Shabbat. It doesn't talk about the punishment, does it? It just says you have to keep Shabbat and you can't, you have to work 6 days a week. You can't work the seventh day. It doesn't get into reward and punishment for Shabbat yet. Now. And here, now we're in chapter 31, after the Mishkan. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor. Vata daber b'nei Yisrael Lemor. Ach et shabtai tishmoru. Keep Shabbat. It was, even though I command you build the Mishkan, remember, Mishkan doesn't override, working on the Mishkan doesn't override keeping Shabbat, and therefore you can't build the Mishkan on Shabbat. Why? Ki oti, now, what's this referring to? What's that going back to for sure? No, but where that's God sanctifying Shabbat.
Oh, ye
temple.
That's Brit Sinai, isn't it? But them two, lima mechet koni v'goy kadosh. I just want to make sure it's clear. I'll make sure that you know that that was, we need to know and internalize that Hashem chose us from the other nations to serve him. And yes, I'm the one who separated you from the other nations to serve me. You know, I gave you a job to do. I separated you for the sake of serving me in the eyes of the nations. That's Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. Now, therefore, if that's Brit Sinai, I need to make sure that Brit Sinai is a Brit Olam, hence the two sides, and there's an Oat Brit. What do we see here? The Oat Brit that we're missing, remember the Rainbow Covenant? The Rainbow was the covenant. The covenant was no more starting over again, no more destruction of all creation. Circumcision Covenant was, you're my God, I mean, I'm your God, you're my people. The Oath Brit was circumcision, the Oath Brit. And now Brit Sinai also has to have an Oath Brit. And our weekly reminder of our commitment to be God's people is Shabbat. I'm making a big deal about it because this is the essence of Shabbat. But Shabbat is our weekly reminder of Brit Sinai. Just like the Mishkan is going to be the reminder of the covenant in Har Sinai in the realm of space, Shabbat will be our weekly reminder of the covenant in Har Sinai in the realm of time. Kedushat Zman, Kedushat Makom. Now, because Shabbat is going to be our weekly reminder of our covenantal commitment to be his people, therefore you have to keep Shabbat properly, because it's now that's just like it's sacred or separated time for a separated nation. Remember, Kedushat Am, Kedushat Zman, Ki Kodesh Yilachem. If Shabbat is an Oath Brit, then if you desecrate the Sabbath day, what's the consequence? Your punishment is a death penalty, okay? Because anyone who does melacha on Shabbat, anyone who desecrates the Sabbath day, it's almost a consequence. If I take this symbol of the covenant and desecrate it, then you're cut off from the covenant, and hence the word karet. This is the first time we have the chiyuv karet in regard to Shabbat, okay? And therefore, we're supposed to work 6 days a week. Seventh day is Shabbat for Hashem. You can't do malacha. And then we're commanded to keep Shabbat. Everyone knows this by heart from Shabbat. To keep Shabbat, nodotam, a brit olam. Now we have a brit olam, an eternal covenant we're looking for. Beinu beinei Yisrael oti leolam. Remember, ki sheshem yasa Hashem b'tashmayim v'taras, if you have mashiv Shabbat b'nefash. Just like Hashem separated one day of week and made it special. God separating one nation from the nations and made it special to serve God forever. But I'm trying to show you something we say every week in davening, and all the melachot of Shabbat we learn from here. Remember the melachot of Shabbat that relate to the Mishkan are all on this key theme. They all relate to the covenant between God and the people. So it's not just God gives us a present Shabbat, we have a day of rest. I need a day to reflect, to remember that I'm chosen and I work 6 days in the service of God. Once a week, I take a break from all that work, from my creativity and my service of God, to remember who my boss is and who I'm serving and to make sure I'm doing a good job, to sit back and reflect. I'm just showing you the theme of covenant that began with the rainbow covenant and the flood story. They went to the circumcision covenant, flows right into the covenant in Har Sinai and the theme of Shabbat, because Shabbat is the Oath Brit that we were looking for. So if I go back to our source sheet real fast. There we are. If I go back to all the things we saw before, I mean, all the key phrases. So now by Brit Sinai, I have Bakimotit Briti. We have the old Brit. We have the Brit Benu Benechem, and it's a Brit Olam. That should be clear. I just want to show you the connection between Shabbat and Brit Sinai. Now I highlighted just on the source sheet with the Hebrew side. And then keeping Shabbat, and it's a Brit Olam, Beinu Bein, Oti Leolam. If we have time, I'd show you this is a, there's a chiasm here. If we have time, I'll show it to you. Now, in light of this, I want to show you the same theme in Sefer Devarim. We have to take a look at the book again and make sure it's clear. Share my screen, and we'll open up a nice English Hebrew. So you have the translation. Now we can go to Devarim. Up to the top. We are in Devarim, chapter 5. Moshe's famous speech goes from chapter 5 to 26. Moshe calls Israel together, tells them, let me make it bigger. Make sure to keep all these laws that I'm commanding you today. Learn them and keep them. Now, that's the opening line of the speech. Before he teaches the laws, he explains under what authority is he teaching the laws. And he makes his opening statement, Hashem Elokeinu, which I want to claim as Hashem, our boss, the one who chose us to serve him, convened a covenant with us in Har Sinai. That's Brit Sinai, clearly. And it wasn't just with us. It wasn't just with our parents. It's also with us. That was 40 years ago, but it was eternal for the entire nation. God spoke us directly at that time, but we got scared. And therefore, we didn't go up the mountain. I That's the whole story in Sefer Shmot about when we got scared, why we got scared. But that's the introduction to the Ten Commandments. Basically, the way most Parshim understand, God spoke the Ten Commandments, Panim Bafanim, or at least the first two, and the rest of them through Moshe Rabbeinu because we were scared, as he'll explain later in chapter 5. The opening statement of the 10 statements is, I'm Hashem, your boss. That's why I took you out of Egypt. And you can't have any other God instead of me. You can't work for anybody else. Can't serve other gods. Don't bow down to them, etc. And I'll punish you harshly. On the other hand, if you keep my laws, God does chesed. Those who love me keep my laws. We talk about this, not to carry God's name in vain. That was the other theme from Sefer Bereshit, making a name for God, making his reputation great, because that God can't forgive. And then this explains why Shabbat in the Ten Commandments. If Shabbat is an oath brit, it makes perfect sense why it's in the Ten Commandments. If we're chosen to make God's name great in the Ten Commandments, don't do a lousy job. I'm your boss. You can't work for anyone else. That's basically the essence of Brit Milah. I'm your God. You're my people. Shabbat is the oath brit, and the purpose of the brit is making a name for God. And now the first four commandments make perfect sense. Now, honoring tradition, honoring parents, goes back to the theme of Brit Milah, having children. It's being a nation forever. A Brit Olam means you're God's people forever. Our commitment to be God's people forever includes having children and educating them to respect tradition. And therefore, honoring parents is also a mitzvah of the parents to teach honor of their heritage to their children. And then if you do that, you'll live for a long time as a nation on the land. But that's going to be schar in the entire, and as we'll see later in Dvarim, that's the schar for the whole covenant. Then we have the core laws between man and his fellow man. And then the story of how they all got scared. That was the rest of chapter 5. And then chapter 6, I won't explain why Shema is so important. What's coming up will be the laws that God commanded that he received at that time. And then after giving the introduction and telling Am Yisrael, listen, keep all these laws for your own good. He goes back to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem Elokeinu, Asher Kratim under Brit Bechorev, Hashem our boss, who made a covenant at Har Sinai, he's the one and only God, therefore love your job. Love Hashem, your boss, with all your heart. And then these laws of Sefer Dvarim, keep them with total devotion, and then teach these laws to your children, talk about them 24-7, and the rest is all the laws of Sefer Dvarim. Now, just one more example in the introduction of this speech is in chapter 4. Look how many times you have this theme of Hashem your boss, Hashem Elokechem. Okay? Remember, now Israel, listen to all the laws I'm teaching you today to be worthy of conquering the land. Don't add and take off of these laws of Hashem Elokechem, Lishmar Mitzvot Hashem Elokechem. You saw what God did, etc. Anyone who went follow Baal Peor, Hishmido Hashem Elokechem Yekirbecha. All through the speech is Hashem Elokecha or Hashem Elokechem. I'll show you in a minute. I did a quick word search. Okay? You clung to God. You're still alive today. You didn't sin. And therefore, I'm teaching you laws that God taught me to teach you to keep in the land. And that's your wisdom in the eyes of the nation. That's already a class in Sefer Dvarim and how we become a Goy Gadol representing God. Now, later he gives... talks about the laws that we got at Har Sinai. And then, he continues with all laws about idol worship, etc. Just one quick share here on the screen. Here. This was a quick search of, I just put in on the search in, what was the search for? Here. Hashem Elokechem. This is the phrase Hashem Elokechem, Hashem your God or Hashem your boss. It's 126 times. Could go through, but in every book of Chumash, all through Tanakh later on. I want to show you one more thing that's interesting. And then, where's my source sheet? Here we go. Why the connection between God choosing us to be his nation forever? Something that Yirmiyahu is going to use, and also Yishayahu, to show the connection between Brit Keshet, Brit Milah, and Brit Sinai. So in Yirmiyahu 33, where the people, where are we, 33? The people are about to go into exile. Okay? And God says as follows. There's I'll give you something from a wedding, okay? Should start from the beginning. It's a whole long parak. Okay, I'll start from here. I'll start from the famous ones. Kol Mar Hashem. You should know where this song's from the wedding come from. Kol Mar Hashem. We're in chapter 33 in Yirmiyahu. Odi Shama b'makom hazeh. There's the land is about to be destroyed. There won't be kol susav kol simcha. Okay. Odi Shama b'makom hazeh. Asher atem omrim charevu me'in adam u'me'in behima. The land now is destroyed from humans and animals. This land's being destroyed by the Babylonians. So Odi Shama again. Odi Shama b'arei Yehuda v'chutzot Yerushalayim. There are now neshamot me'in adam that are empty now and desolate from everybody. Odi Shama. What? Kol sason v'kol simcha kol chatan v'kol kala. Then kol minhod l'shem tzvot, etc. Why? Ki yashiv etshvut ha'aretz v'shonav amar Hashem. We'll come back. Understand the idea? Because even though we're going to exile, we're going to come back. Well, if I follow that theme, just like there's destruction of God destroys and then recreates and then promises not to do that again. So the idea that we're chosen forever, even though we're going to exile, so Yirmiyahu's explaining why we're going into exile, but has to promise them that God's breath will be eternal and one day we'll come back. That's why those Pukim are so famous. Okay? Therefore, Kol Mar Hashem Tzvot, Odiyeh B'Mokom HaZeh Acharev. There'll be shepherds again in Arei Yehuda, Vashvila, Vanegev, etc. And there'll still be sheep in the land. Okay. Famous line, Pasuk Yedalot, this makes it to Shmon Esra. Hinei Yamin Ba'im Num Hashem, V'Kimoti Et Davar HaTov Asher Dibarti Beit Yisrael Beit Yehuda. I promise of good will come. I'll keep this. Remember, Vakimoti et Briti. B'yamim ahem, baitahi, atzmiach le David tzemech tzaka, v'asa mishpat tzaka ba'aretz, that's the bracha in Shmon Esrei, et tzemech David. So we have something to understand Shema today and understand Shmon Esrei. Now, if I have a leadership of Malchut David leading the nation in mishpat tzaka, then b'yamim ahem, at that time, tivasha Yehuda v'yushan tishkan lebetach, and the king's name would be Hashem Tzidkenu. Okay. Then he promises there'll always be kingdom from the house of David, and there'll always be Kohanim and Levim. There's my choice of Am Yisrael, my choice of the Kohanim and Levim and Malchut David is a choice forever. Now he's going to give a proof, listen to Yirmiyahu's proof, of why God's covenant with his people is eternal. Listen carefully now to Pasuk Yetet, I'll make it bigger. Pasuk Yetet. Vayidvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu lemor. Kol Mar Hashem, im taferu et briti yom hayom vet briti halayla, just like I won't break my covenant with day and night. Remember? Just like astronomy, just like the sun is always there and the night and the moon is always there. Just like the laws of nature and astronomy is always there. That's built into nature. My covenant with the house of David and with the Kohanim Levim will be there forever. And there'll be numerous like Tzva Shemaim going back. We'll get that. That's already goes to Brit Beinam Tarim. We'll get that soon. Okay. Now, listen carefully. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayidvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu lemor. Halo re'ita ma ha'amaseh dibru lemor. Listen what the people are saying in light of the Babylonian destruction. Shtei ha'mishpachot asher bachar Hashem bahem. The two families that God chose, he unchose them. Vayimaseim. He became content of them. He doesn't want them anymore. That's what the people are saying. We're unchosen. And God doesn't want his people anymore. God doesn't want the Kohanim. He doesn't want Beit David. He doesn't want the Jewish people. As the people, in light of the destruction and the Babylonian exile and the temple being destroyed, the people are saying it's over and we're no longer God's people. Kol Mar Hashem, im lod briti yomam v'layla, chukot shemayim v'aretz lo samti, gam zera Yaakov v'David abdi emas, mikach mizor moshlim azera Abraham, Yitzhak v'Yaakov, kishub v'shfutam. Just like I won't break my breed with day and night, which is basically the breed after the flood, and the breed with heaven and earth will stay the same and won't change. I won't break my breed with Malchut David and with Am Yisrael and the Kohanim ben Levim. So basically what I'm trying to show you is this theme that I'm trying to show you in the Shir is a theme that the Levim pick up Yirmiyahu in the time of Korban. If you remember, Rani Akara Lo Yaleda, remember Kimi Noach Zotli, the Haftarah for Parshat Noach. It was, my brit with Ami, so it's like my brit with Noach. That's probably the best proof. Remember that one? That's Rani Akara Lo Yaleda, the Kapin Rechomesh, the Haftarah for Parshat Noach. Okay, let's get back. Now let me explain something interesting. Notice I tried to show you the connection between Brit Sinai and Brit Milah. Now, I have to go back now to the next Brit in Sefer Breshit, which is Brit Ben Aptarim, which promises what? That's going to be B'Shem Yud Kevavke, but going down into slavery in someone else's land and being oppressed. Now, how is that going to relate to the Ten Commandments? How is going down into Egyptian slavery going to relate to the Brit? Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Hoceiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim, Mibeit Avadim. You know, what I want to show you is how beautifully the Brit at Har Sinai is going to bring together Brit Milah and Brit Ben Aptarim. To appreciate it, we have to go back now and see Brit Ben Aptarim. Now, let me show you what I try to do today. I try to prove to you from a textual point of view, which is following the key word, showing how Breshit is a platform to understand the rest of Chumash. We're setting the stage for the key event in Chumash, which is a covenant between God and the people to serve Him. That key event is Har Sinai. We take upon ourselves an eternal commitment to be His people. I need the stories in Breshit to appreciate the meaning of that covenant, and everything is being set up towards the covenant. And therefore, the theme of the flood and the key phrases of the covenant after the flood, of Brit Keshet, and the covenant with Avraham Avinu, with Brit Milah, to have children, and to remember that you're chosen, God's your boss forever, and you have to become a nation, and that's why He's giving you a land. They're all going to echo themselves now at Brit Sinai, with those same phrases, especially in Parshat, in Bechukotai, with Shemitah, and Yovel, etc. And the end of Vayikra, as well as the things we saw in Shemot and Devarim. And now we have to go back to Breshit and see the theme of Brit Ben Aptarim, and we can do the exact same thing with Brit Ben Aptarim and show you how there's echoes of Brit Ben Aptarim at Har Sinai. Because I told you, Hashem Hu Elokim, it's all the same God. Then we have to discuss, why is God doing it? Why is God using two different names to make that point? It was, why do I need two Britot? Why can't it just be one simple one? But I'm trying to show you that you can't miss the two things coming together. Okay? Now, how are we doing time-wise? Okay, 10 more minutes left. We'll finish up. Let's go back to my source sheet and make sure everything was there. Okay. Remember in Sefer Devarim, there's that big long speech that began with the Ten Commandments. Now, the end of Sefer Devarim, the speech is 22 chapters. The end of chapter 26, there's a beautiful ending that takes you right back to Har Sinai, just to remember the Brit at Har Sinai. Im shmo tishmu b'koli u'shmartem et briti, v'iten l'yisrael mikol amim, ki li kol aretz, v'atem tiyudim amnechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. That's the proposition that God makes to the people, which we agree to. In light of that, we get the 10 statements, or it's called Dibrei HaBrit. Now, in light of that, how to fulfill that? We have all the laws of Sefer Devarim. At the end of the speech, Moshe says as follows. Remember, the speech began with Vayuad Vroim Eila Shonochim Etzavchayim Alevavecha in the beginning of Shema. Now we have the summary. Hayom Hazeh, it's been a long day since chapter 5 and 6. Hashem Elohecha, remember? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem our boss, it's not Moshe, but rather it's God commanding all these chukim in Mishpatim. Keep all these laws, b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. That's a beautiful summary of the opening lines of the speech and the beginning of Shema. Remember, v'avtata Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. And in light of that, with that attitude, keep the chukim Mishpatim. Now we have the famous v'Hashem Hemarta, remember? V'Hashem Hemircha. That's Anu Mamirecha b'ata Mamireinu that we're familiar with on Yom Kippur Davening. What did we take upon ourselves? This section. What did God take upon Himself? This section. Now, let's see what God took upon Him. I'll skip to the end first. What did Hashem take upon Himself? Lo lam skula. That's clearly Har Sinai. Yitim niskul mikolamim. Keep all of His laws. To put you in a leadership position above the nations. L'tzidach Shem u'tiferet, for God's glory, renown, and reputation, and that will make you a good, and I'm Kadosh, as He told you at Har Sinai, v'atem tidim amnechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. So, what did God take upon Himself? That we would be His people, and we would serve Him for this purpose. What did we take upon ourselves? Bet Hashem amart hayom, what's the first one? I'm sorry. V'yot l'chad Elohim. We're right there. That's Brit Milah. We'll see later on. That's doing Tzedek Mishpat. That's going to be chapter 18 in Breshit. To keep all of His laws. That's all the laws throughout the Chumash. The Shema B'Kolo goes back to Mishmo Tishmo B'Koli. Remember at the beginning of Mishmo Tishmo B'Koli? I should have highlighted that. Where's the highlight? Yeah. and Shmartim et Briti. You see, you can't miss all the phrases returning at the end of the speech. And if we keep this mitzvah properly, we'll fulfill the goal to be his Am Sekula, to be Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, representing God in the eyes of the nations. And that'll be the key summary of the big speech in Sefer Devarim. So that was the end of the speech. And now, I should have also brought it in Sefer Shemot. Before we go out of Egypt, we have the same idea. Tel B'nai Yisroel, this is in Parsha Va'era. Tel B'nai Yisroel, Ani Hashem. I'm going to take you out of Egypt. We'll see all these relate to, the first three relate to Brit Ben Abtarim, which we have to go back to now. The fourth cup, there's again Brit Milah. And then you'll know that I'm the God who took you out of Egypt for that reason. And then I'll bring you to the land that I promised you in both Brit Milah and Brit Ben Abtarim. And you'll get it as a Morashah. We'll understand this when we do Brit Ben Abtarim, the idea of conquest of land or possession of land. That's the famous introduction to the story of the Exodus before we get out of Egypt. But those are the famous four cups at the Seder. But again, the same phrase of Lechem Elohim is key in our Jewish tradition, everything we're doing. Okay, now, I want to end today with a quick introduction to Brit Ben Abtarim, which we'll have to talk about in detail next week. Now, one quick question. Tell me what you remember learning. There's a famous question. In Brit Ben Abtarim, what does God promise? That your offspring are going to be enslaved by a foreign nation, and then they'll be oppressed and enslaved, but I'm going to save you. Now, the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuva asked a famous question, which is what? How can God punish Pharaoh for enslaving us if what? If he said what's going to happen. Anyone remember the answer?
Oh, yeah. Paro went overboard. He did too much, too bad, yeah. Too much bad.
Yeah, that's the rivet and the, and it was okay to do a little bit, but he sort of overdid it. The Rambam doesn't give that answer. The Rambam gives a philosophical answer. Yes, Shoshana, you want to say something?
It didn't need to be Paro. It could have been somebody else to do the job.
Okay. The bad example I'd like to give is if you're an insurance, an actuary writing insurance policies, or making the thing. So when you're figuring out how much we charge car insurance, what's it going to cost us? The insurance company knows that on the Garden State Freeway or some highway, some turnpike, there'll be 10 fatal accidents a year and 100 car accidents. Now, somewhere on the Gaussian curve between 90 and 110, something like that. Now, in other words, actuaries, right? They look at the statistics, and there's bound to be car accidents on the highway. You can try to prevent them, but there's always going to be. How many? But bound to be. Now, the fact that you know there's going to be accidents on the highway doesn't take away the bechira chofshit from any driver. Every driver who got into an accident, he had bechira chofshit to go to put on a seatbelt, to drive carefully. Everyone has bechira chofshit. But certain things are bound to happen. So what the Rambam says, the way I understand the Rambam is, because it Minhagosho Olam, he says it's bound to happen. The better example is like, I can predict that a teenager is going to talk back to his parents. Now, he has Becher Chofshit every day. Right? The other Shalach Manas one is when you have a good chocolate bar. You have Becher Chofshit not to eat it. But if it's a good Swiss chocolate, you don't have Becher Chofshit. Unless it's kidneyous, but then you'll save it for after Pesach. Or you'll say, I'll find a heter for Odi Kelly. It's only Shem and kidney out and no one's watching. Now, what I'm getting at is that Bichar Chofshit, but the fact everyone has Bichar, something's bound to happen. So he says, as long as I make sure that you're not going to be in your land, if I see to it that you'll be foreigners in someone else's land, you're bound to be oppressed. That's what happens to migrants. Because migrants are oppressed. I don't have to bring examples from world history, even from American history. People are migrants. You oppress them. Why? Because it's easy to. And if you can, if you can oppress people, why not? Especially when you save money by doing that and you're doing them a favor, because otherwise you wouldn't have any job. So you're doing a favor by giving them, by paying them under, at least they're getting a job and they have a shelter. Now, what Chumash is saying, it's bound to happen. Now, the big question is, And I'll just do the introduction, then we'll do the psukim inside. Let me just share my Ben Aftarim. Where's my website? I mean, where's my, here we go. If you want the Rambam I just talked about, that's going to be in Hilchot Teshuvah chapter 6. Okay. I'll just the highlight. Below Diu HaBoreh here. Balak Vaduvinu Otam. We'll get that soon. Hari Gazar LeMitzrim. That's what Ra. He, God decided the Egyptians are going to punish us. Why are they being punished? Okay. Levi Shelo Gazar Ish Ploni HaYodua. As Shoshana mentioned. He didn't say which pharaoh or when it would be or what country. He didn't even say Egypt. Someone else's land, okay? V'lo hodio habore ela minagosh olam. That's one of Rambam's great lines. God's saying what's bound to happen. Okay? It's like saying in a certain shul, there'd be good members and troublemaker members. Like, it's like telling the rabbi, you have a job? There's bound to be five congregants who are going to give you a hard time. Who they're going to be? But there's bound to be. Anyone who's a shul rabbi knows that. Okay? Okay. God to say he's a Russia, but for an exile, you know, it wasn't decided this person would be a Russia, but there's bound to be a Russia. Okay. You know, it's every Egyptian could have been okay, but they decided to be evil. Okay. Okay. It's bound to happen. Okay. That's the thing. And Ramban will say about the overdoing it. I'm pretty sure that's, but everyone's dealing with that question. Now, I want to ask a bigger question. Again, I guess we'll have to do it inside the brief because it's too complicated to do now. God tells Avram Avinu in chapter, he's chosen in chapter 12. In chapter 15, starts Brit Ben Aftarim. It's the first conversation between God and Avram Avinu. I should go back to that source sheet. Where are we? Achar Dvar Me'ele, not this one. Here we are. This one. After these events,
are you going to touch the question of why we needed the Shibud Mitzrayim?
Yeah, that's what I want to get to. I'll do it primarily next week, but I want to get started here. After these events, we have this thing, and God tells Avram, don't worry, I'll protect you. I have to do this properly next week. But and when Avram asks the question, but Ma'ida, God's basic answer is Yodo Teda, and promises you'll be strangers in somebody else's land, you'll be oppressed, I'll punish your oppressor. That's the whole theme of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Now, the question comes up, what did Avram do wrong to deserve such a punishment? It sounds like a punishment, right? Now, we're going to try and prove it's not a punishment. It's something that needed to happen. I call it basic training. But it's logical to assume there's a punishment. So the Maran Gvurot Hashem, it's a beautiful, it's pretty long, but it's awesome. He goes to all the different possibilities. But in a nutshell, what Chazal do, they look, starting from Lech Lecha till chapter 15, from chapter 12 to 15, they have to find something Avram Avinu must have done wrong. Had he been a goody-goody, this would never have happened. He must have done something wrong. Okay? So what did the Zionists say? What did Avram do wrong in chapter 13? Or chapter 12? In chapter 12, what did Avram do wrong? He went down to Egypt in a famine. And therefore, what's his punishment? Your children go down to Egypt in a famine. Avram came back with great wealth. You'll come back with great wealth. Okay? It's like there's too many parallels not to say it's connected. Now, another approach is, the more modern approach is, that he lied about his wife, you know, in Egypt. But that's postmodern. Okay, because I don't bring that up. Now, chapter 14 is the War of the Four Kings and Five Kings. What did Avram do wrong there? That's halacha lemaisa today. He went to war against the four kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
He could have done it himself, right? He and Eliezer could have done it himself. What did he do, Avram Avinu? He took Yeshiva Bachrim, right? He took his 318 Talmidim.
Oh, come on.
He took him to war. Look at him. That's Chazal say that. Okay. She took out Tinokot Shebet Rabban. He took out students from school. He and Eliezer, remember Eliezer and Gematria 318, the famous Gematria that Ibn Ezra loves. So the approach is that, what do you call it? Because he took Yeshiva Bachrim to war, that's why you have to suffer for 400 years. And the best one is in chapter 15 within itself. Had he not asked Machshava questions, When you ask b'ma'ida, don't ask questions. You start asking Moshava questions, you're out of yeshiva. You'll learn the hard way. Just have simple emuna. Now, those three midrashim are beautiful because they all reflect true ideas that you don't abandon Israel in time of famine or don't abandon your people when things are bad. And you respect people sitting and learning and don't waste your time on foolish things and like how important learning is. And important not to question God and keep to your faith. Is that the reason for the brit? That can't be. You follow? No. That's classic midrash, which is a springboard to give over true ideas, which aren't pshat of chumash, but it's a springboard to give over true ideas. But what we have to explain is why it's necessary to go through that. Again, we can talk about how bad it had to be. Discuss that as well. But there's some need. Now, later on in chumash, that's what we have to see. That's what I'm trying to show you is what we call one book, one theme. That there's a theme that begins in Bereshit that ties all Bereshit together, but the theme of Bereshit continues all through Chumash. Now, all through Chumash in every law section, we're going to have tons of laws that remember you were a slave in Egypt, even in the Ten Commandments in Devarim you'll have it. It's in every walk in life, there's tons of laws that the line, remember you were a slave in Egypt, is going to be a motivator. And it seems like God wanted that to happen so we can tell us later on, remember you were a slave in Egypt. Now, that brings up great philosophical questions, right? Why does one generation have to suffer to teach future generations how to behave? You know, why can't we do it? But that we have to discuss. But let me just summarize. My key point is, Brit Ben Abtarim is going to be, we have to study it next week properly. It's going to be key for several reasons. Number one, the theme of the Exodus. It's why we eat matzah for 1 week a year. It's why we say Shema every day. Or part of why we say Shema every day, the third part of Shema. It's so central in every law section. And it guides our behavior. It's a daily memory, not just a yearly memory. It's key. And the whole story of the Exodus is so central to Chumash and about how we become a nation. So there's got to be something super important about it, number one. Number two, it's the first dialogue we find between God and Avraham Avinu. It's also the first covenant we find between Avraham Avinu. Now, even though there was a covenant B'Shem Elokim beforehand, B'Kesha and Brit Milah, but Brit Milah is later. Why is this the first covenant with Avraham Avinu? And why is this, you know, the very first covenant in Chumash with Avraham Avinu is Brit Ben Abtarim? And why is it so cryptic? And what does it have to do with you know, there's so much going on there. And there's cutting the animals in half and which animals. There's so much imagery there and so many key words like Tardema. There's something major going on. We have to try and put it together. Now, what I want to do is do first objective analysis. First, what's in Brit Ben Abtarim? What's the topic? You know, what's the conversation that's going on? Discuss why it's the first dialogue. And then see how it comes up all through Chumash later on. Then we'll suggest subjective interpretation of what, you know, why it had to happen or why it was necessary. But first we have to show you that there's part of the theme of Bereshit, because it's the theme of Brit and chosenness and choosing the land, and it's called Zera Ba'aretz. Then we have to see how it relates to the rest of Chumash. And then we have to try look for deeper, suggest deeper meaning for it. Might we follow what we're trying to do in the series? We'll be catching on. But I'm learning Bereshit to understand the rest of Chumash, where there's one mega theme throughout Chumash. Even though each book has its own specific theme, there's a mega theme going through. And the way Chumash develops it is through the development of the story and key words, key phrases. That's what I try to show you today. Like Brit Olam, Beinu Ubein, Bakimot Briti. The fact they repeat themselves so many times, it's got to be significant. Okay, I'll take questions real quick. And a reminder from Rabbi Jay.
Could you go back and explain the connection between the Keshet Brit, which is the universal God, and the next Brit, which is Brit Abraham?
Okay, the main thing I did is show you they're connected. That's objective, okay? Now, because they're connected linguistically, right, they've got, it's not, and I showed you this week, it also relates to Brit Sinai. I have the same things, the same key phrases. It suggests it should be related thematically. I don't know, Chumash doesn't tell us why. What I'm suggesting is, especially because of God's name, Liot Lechel Elokim, just like there's things built into nature. So after the flood, before the flood, what could God do? If humankind goes bad, he can start over again. He promises not to do that again. And therefore, God can't start over again. Therefore, if civilization goes bad, if that happens again, if society is bad, he can't start over. He can only fix things. I need something in the system that's there to fix, to help facilitate fixing. Will that be the only thing that can fix? No. But one of the, I'd like to use an example from white blood cells in all mammals, I think. When there's an infection, right? There's something built into the system that's there to heal, that can heal. Will it always work? No, but it can work. So there's something built into nature that when society is bad, there should be a nation around that people can learn from. Now, will that nation live up to that goal? That's our challenge. That's our destiny. But the fact that it's our challenge, or God's separating one nation and making it special for the sake of those other nations. Now, the way we're going to get to it, to try to answer it better, when we discuss the concept of Bechorah in Sefer Bereshit, which we've been reading about a lot in Bereshit now, right? The theme of Bechorah seems like a strange topic all through Bereshit, isn't it? Who's the Bechor? Is it a commodity? Remember with Yaakov and Esau? Who becomes a Bechor of the family? But again, is Bechorah responsibility or privilege? But when we get to Shemot, and the first thing God tells Moshe to tell Pharaoh is B'ni Bechori Yisrael, something's going on there about Bechorah. And the fact the 10th plague is Makat Bechorot. And the Bechorah is so important. And then Reuven loses the Bechorah. And who takes over Bechorah? And what's the meaning of Bechorah? You know, and what, does it go to Yosef? Does it go to Yehuda? And what's going to happen in the future with the Bechorah? So those are all things, again, in Bereshit, which might, again, go, what's the idea of Bechor? I need someone to lead the nation, to lead the brothers. Now, will we do a good job or bad job? That's up to the person. You can do bad, you can do good. But God's setting aside a nation whose goal is to be like other nations. Now, when it's not working, that's a big question. So it wasn't working for so long that led to Christianity. If you know your other religions. But it, on the other hand, it leads to emunah, it leads to not having faith that one day we'll come back to it again. And then the question is when we do come back to, you know, what's the meaning of being God's people? What do we need to do to make it better? To blame other people or to work on ourselves to do better? That's already a Muslim topic, which is an important one. But the underlying question here is Kita Chumash. I'm just trying to say the fact that they're connected, the fact that God can't start over again and wants man to be better, we're living in Ruach Tikkun. That was the idea of Reich Nichoach we saw. Remember, Ki Yetzer Adam, Raminu Rav is supposed to, Rakra Kalayom, after the flood, that man can learn from his mistakes and do better. So we have to develop that theme. But if that's the case, then part of our being Jewish is going to be our ability not just to be a model nation, but to learn from our mistakes. And what enables that will be God's Midot of Rachamim. I'm just putting lines on the graph where I'm going with this. I need these stories to appreciate Midot HaRachamim, all the Tochachot, why the extra mitzvot. Almost every later section of Chumash can be explained by these ideas that we're developing in Bereshit. I didn't answer your question, but I gave a direction. In other words, I don't have an exact answer, but they have to be connected. As we see more and more examples, we'll see, I think, how they're connected. Because God cares about this entire creation. Someone was asking me on Shabbat about their having a discussion about whether, you know, the whole question, whether morality is only what God commands. Is there morality outside of Chumash? It's a famous theological question, or I forget, philosophical question. But does God define what moral is, or is there an outside moral? But I just, from the flood story, how could God punish for the flood people, if there was no commandments beforehand? In other words, it's clear that God wants man to be good. You can argue what good is, but some basic concept of good, it goes back to the Gan Eden story and Eitz Hadat Tov V'Ra. That's not for now. Okay, I'll just check the chat real fast. Couple questions. By the way, the oppression of Hagar, someone asked about that. That's right after Brit Ben Eftarim. Hagar, the stranger, Ve'yaneh Sarah, she's oppressed. She goes and she's a Mitzri, Shifcha Mitzrit, who's oppressed, and God blesses her at the end. You know, go through the suffering, but I'll bless you, and you'll come out good at the end. There's too many parallels to show it's not connected. No. What knows? So then why isn't she chosen? That's a whole different question, but that's important. And okay, so we have the source sheet, and okay, the rest of this will continue next week, Yemirat Hashem. Next week is Hanukkah? Yeah. So I'll try maybe, I'll see if I, maybe I'll think of something Hanukkah. I'll try to relate Bereishit to Hanukkah somehow. I'll try to make it timely for Hanukkah for those, I'm assuming there'll less people be able to come next week. And then we'll continue the, okay, I'll think of something for next week that try to make it related to Hanukkah, but I'll put some thought into it. I already gave a share on their holiday. I put a Christianity plug today. Not a plug, but I connected the holidays a little bit.
But can you do the continuation of this year the following week?
If I'll continue this, I'll do it next week also. I'll try to figure out Brit Ben Aptarim and Hanukkah. It won't be Hanukkah. It'll be a share on Bereishit, but I'll share the theme of Hanukkah behind it. Actually, I know exactly where to do it. It's easy. Goes back to the Marishon, so it's no problem.
Okay.
Everyone have a good week. Hey, bye-bye.
Hanukkah Sameach. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Toda rabah v'chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.